This Finding Hidden Treasure minisode is a production of the Restoring the Core Initiative. The following is taken from the book Communion with God by John Owen. The text are the concluding words of the chapter Communion with Christ and Acceptance with God. Christ is honored by his saints all over the world. If they do not, who will? If believers do not honor him as they honor the Father, they are of all men the most unworthy. But we are shown what believers do. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 6, and chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. The great solemn worship of the Christian church lies in honoring and glorifying the Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Song of Songs, chapter 5, verses 9 through 16. Believers heartily approve of this righteousness, this way of being accepted by God, because it brings glory to God. When they were under the guilt of sin, they were puzzled as to how they could be saved and God's justice, faithfulness, and truth glorified. Believers see that, by this righteousness, all the properties of God are greatly glorified in the pardon, justification, and acceptance of sinners. This is, then, the first way by which saints hold daily fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Believers continually keep alive in their hearts a sense of the guilt and evil of sin, even when they are fully assured of their acceptance with God. A sense of pardon takes away the horror and fear, but not a due sense of the guilt of sin. David said, "My sin is ever before me." Believers set sin before them, not to terrify themselves, but so that they are always aware of the evil of it. Believers gather up in their thoughts the sins for which they have not made a particular reckoning with God in Christ. There is nothing more dreadful than for a man to have sin look him in the face and speak words of terror to him, and to be able either to forget them or to put off dealing with them. Believers gather up their sins and lay them in the balance of the law. They see and consider their weight of evil and what they deserve. Then they seriously consider, and by faith, conquer all objections to the contrary, that Jesus Christ, by his Father's will and appointment, had really suffered the punishment that was due to those sins. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Christ has certainly and really answered the justice of God for our sins. This is the believer's full assurance of faith. Believers hear the voice of Christ calling to them to come to him with their burdens. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. So they come to him and lay their guilt upon him. They lay down their sins at the cross of Christ, and he bears them on his shoulders. This is faith's great and bold confidence in the grace, faithfulness, and truth of God. They stand by the cross and say, "He was bruised for my sins and wounded for my transgressions, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. He was made sin for me, so he is able to bear my sins. He calls me to lay the burden of them on him." This is the believer's daily work. This is what it means to know Christ crucified. Having given up their sins to Christ by faith, and by faith seeing God laying them all on Christ, believers draw near and take from him that righteousness which he has wrought for them, so fulfilling what Paul taught. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Objection. But surely this can never be acceptable to Jesus Christ. Shall we daily come to him with our filth, our guilt, our sins? Will he not tell us to keep them ourselves? Shall we always be giving him our sins and taking his righteousness? Answer. There is nothing that Jesus Christ is more delighted with than that his saints should always hold communion with him by giving him their sins and receiving his righteousness. This greatly honors him and gives him the glory that is his due. What great dishonor we do to Christ to try and get rid of our sins in any other way. Lord, this is your work. This is what you came into the world to do. You call for my burden, which is too heavy for me to carry. Take it, blessed Redeemer, and give me your righteousness. Then Christ is honored. The glory of his mediation is given to him when we walk with him in this way. This greatly endears the souls of the saints to the Lord Jesus and constrains them to value him highly. I have been with the Lord Jesus. I have left the burden of my sins with him. He has given me his righteousness, and in this righteousness I can come with boldness to God. I was dead and am alive, for he died for me. I was cursed and now am blessed, for he was made a curse for me. I was troubled, but have peace, for the chastisement of my peace was upon him. I did not know what to do, nor where to take my sorrow. but by him I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. If I do not love him, delight in him, obey him, live to him, die for him, I am worse than the devils in hell. It is Christ's great aim in this world to be esteemed highly by his people. And how could he be more highly esteemed than to be acknowledged as the one who takes our sins and gives us his righteousness? Objection. If this is so, why do we need to repent and amend our ways? Why not go on sinning so that grace may abound? Answer. I judge no one. But this I must say, I do not understand how a man could make such an objection in cold blood. Can such a person know anything of true fellowship with Jesus Christ? Communion with Christ produces repentance. When a person really sees the vileness of sin and what it cost Christ to bear it away, will he still want to continue in sin? Communion with Christ produces obedience. If Christ is glorified and honored by taking our sins, the more we bring to him, the more he will be glorified. A man could not suppose that this objection would be made, but that the Holy Spirit, who knows what is in man, has made it for them in their name. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. If the gospel is properly preached, the objection, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" will always be raised. But Paul says, "God forbid," and then explains why not. Romans chapter 6. How then should we practice this duty? By faith. Faith exercises itself in this duty by meditation. The heart continually thinks of Christ and what he has done and wants us to do. Faith exercises itself in this duty by clinging to the promises in which the excellence, fullness, and completeness of the righteousness of Christ are declared and held out to us. Faith exercises itself in this duty by prayer. By prayer, we lay our sins on Jesus and receive his righteousness. So this is how we have fellowship with Christ in the grace of acceptance with God. This minisode is a production of the Restoring the Core Initiative. Like us on Facebook at Restoring the Core. Email your comments to us at mail@restoringthecore.com. Thank you for listening.